fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. As I mentioned at the top of Wednesday's show, an Arctic blast of brutally cold, wicked winter weather has hit much of the United States, including the southern U.S. city of Atlanta, Georgia, the venue for Sunday's 53rd Super Bowl. The temperature in Atlanta at 1400 UTC Thursday was near freezing. But the cold temperatures should not affect the big game between the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams. The Super Bowl of American-style football will be played at the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, which opened in 2017 and features a retractable roof. Peter O'Reilly, the National Football League's Senior Vice President of Events, says officials are closely watching the weather forecast for Sunday, and it's likely the roof will be closed during the game. Stadium officials can open or close the roof in about 8 minutes, and they want the massive Super Bowl television audience to see it in action. So the roof could be open for pregame festivities and then closed for the game. Arthur Blank is the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, whose team plays its home games at the stadium. He says, and I quote, "I think you'll see the roof in some form be operable. How much and long it will be open, I'm not sure, but we want the world to see it." Hey, I want to see that roof open and close, open and close. It takes only 8 minutes, so it could be a last-minute decision to see whether it's going to be open or closed for the big game. We want the world to see it. Meanwhile, the fans will be seeing a rematch of Super Bowl 36 when the Patriots defeated the Rams 20-17 in New Orleans, Louisiana. The Rams were then based in St. Louis, Missouri. It was the first of 5 Super Bowl trophies won by the Patriots. 2 men credited with much of the team's success are star quarterback Tom Brady and head coach Bill Belichick. They've been big parts of all 5 New England Super Bowl championships, and if they can win a 6th one on Sunday, the Patriots will tie the Pittsburgh Steelers for most Super Bowl titles. Now, one of the keys to victory for the Patriots is protecting the 41-year-old Brady, as we hear now from the AP's Mark Myers in Atlanta.
When it comes to protecting their quarterback, the Patriots have taken a hands-off approach. One of their keys to success in these playoffs so far has been keeping Tom Brady upright. In their 2 previous games, New England's O-line has not allowed a sack, allowing receivers like tight end Rob Gronkowski time to get open.
They've been doing a great job just working together to help Brady out. And when that happens, Tom can sit back, read out the coverages, read out who's open, and make the play happen.
But keeping Brady off the turf Sunday will be no easy task. The Rams have the NFL's leading sacker in Aaron Donald. Mark Myers, Atlanta.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Still with the Super Bowl, the Los Angeles Rams have received some good news about the health of one of their top running backs. The AP's Gary McKillops reports from Atlanta.
Los Angeles Rams running back Todd Gurley will be ready for Sunday's Super Bowl against the New England Patriots after nursing a sore knee since week 13 of the season and being held out for most of the Rams' NFC Championship win over the Saints. Gurley said he's ready for whatever Coach Sean McVay has in store.
Man, I'm just going with the flow. You know, whatever he provides, I'm going to take it and run with it. If not, you know, I'm going to be a good teammate, or I'm going to do whatever I can do to help this team win.
Gurley rolled up 1,255 yards on the season and had a league-best 21 TDs. A return to form could be a key for a Rams victory this Sunday. Gary McKillops, Atlanta.
The Rams advanced to Super Bowl 53 with a controversial 26-23 overtime victory against the host New Orleans Saints in the National Football Conference championship game. An obvious and clear pass interference penalty was not called against the Rams, and many Saints fans feel it cost their team a trip to the Super Bowl. National Football League Commissioner Roger Goodell addressed the controversy during a news conference in Atlanta. Once again, here's Gary McKillips.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell addressed a variety of issues at his annual Super Bowl press conference, but most pressing was what he thought about the non-call interference penalty late in the Rams-Saints NFC Championship game, which may have cost the Saints a trip to the Super Bowl. Well, he was criticized for not making a public statement up to now. Goodell admitted the call was missed, but he did take action.
We addressed this immediately after the game. We spoke to the coach. The coach announced the conversation and the fact that this play should have been called.
The commissioner also said the competition committee would look at the possibility of reviewing penalty calls under certain circumstances. Gary McKillips, Atlanta.
Thanks, Gary. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The owner of the New England Patriots is Robert Kraft, while the owner of the Los Angeles Rams is Stan Kroenke. Both men are billionaires, and they've made lots of money from their teams. But a new book chronicles how owners in the early years of the National Football League struggled to keep the NFL afloat financially. The AP's Dave Ferry picks up the story.
Some billionaire will cradle the Vince Lombardi trophy this Sunday as owner of the Super Bowl champs. And according to the new book, The League, by John Eisenberg, that owner can thank George Halas, Art Rooney, Tim Mara, Burt Bell, George Preston Marshall, and countless others for keeping the league solvent during the NFL's early years.
There was no money on the table in the NFL in the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s. So they weren't in it to get rich. They were in it, they thought, they were men of sport. I mean, that's the best way you can put it. And they thought pro football might be something that would work eventually.
Times were tough for the NFL in its early stages. College players spurned contract offers. Teams came and went. Even two teams, the Steelers and Eagles, merged for 1 year during World War II. But Halas, Rooney, Mara, Bell, and Marshall never allowed the NFL to die. And their exploits are well chronicled in Eisenberg's book. The league is recommended reading for NFL fans during the offseason. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The pop group Maroon 5 will be the featured entertainment during halftime of Sunday's Super Bowl in Atlanta. Maroon 5 paid tribute to Rolling Stones frontman Mick Jagger with their 2011 hit, Moves Like Jagger.
I wanted show you. Look into my eyes and I'll own you. With them moves like Jagger, I've got them moves like Jagger. I've got them moves like Jagger. You wanna know how to make me smile? Take control.
That's Maroon 5 with their 2011 hit, Moves Like Jagger. Maroon 5 will be the featured halftime entertainment during Sunday's Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson will look back on the Australian Open tennis titles won by Novak Djokovic and Naomi Osaka. But first, this Voice of America programming announcement.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. We look forward to your next Press Conference USA show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, the world's top-ranked men's and women's players, Novak Djokovic of Serbia and Naomi Osaka of Japan, are both basking in the glow of winning titles at the year's first major tournament, the Australian Open in Melbourne. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson looks back on their trophy-winning performances, and Jim begins with some reaction from Djokovic.
Even though I always believe I can play this way and kind of visualize myself playing this way, but at this level, under the circumstances, it was truly a perfect match.
Perfect for Novak Djokovic of Serbia, who stormed to the Australian Open title with a dominating 6-3, 6-2, 6-3 performance over Rafael Nadal of Spain.
Unbelievable the way that he played, no doubt about that. But at the same time, it's true that probably physically I was not able, I played fantastic tennis during both weeks.
It's true.
But probably playing that well, I didn't suffer much during the both weeks.
Djokovic needed just 2 hours, 4 minutes to claim his 15th major tennis title, edging ahead of his boyhood idol, American Pete Sampras.
I've said it before, but he was someone that I look up to, and when I was starting to play tennis, actually, one of the first images of tennis in general was him playing in Wimbledon and winning his, I think, first title. And to aspire to be as good as Pete And to surpass him with Grand Slam title is, I'm speechless.
The 31-year-old Djokovic has now won the last three majors in an amazing comeback from injury. Nadal has also made an impressive return himself. And while he is still two Grand Slam wins ahead of Djokovic, the Spaniard feels the latest Australian Open champ has more momentum.
I needed something else. And that something else, probably today, I don't have it yet. You know, that's my feeling to compete at this super high level. You know, I think I was playing great during the both weeks in offensive positions. In defensive positions, you know, I practiced what I practiced. Difficult to beat him even if I was at my 100%.
Djokovic credits the organizers for helping to create a winning atmosphere.
It's definitely a tournament that sets a bar quite high. For the other slams and other tournaments as well. Without a doubt, this is the best slam, the most player-friendly slam that we have.
Roger Federer of Switzerland holds a record 20 Grand Slam titles, which is the goal Djokovic has in front of him.
Making history, you know, of the sport that I truly love is something special, and of course it motivates me. Playing Grand Slams and the biggest ATP events is my utmost priority in this season and the seasons to come.
As great as Novak Djokovic is at the moment, he feels his level of play can still go up.
I do want to definitely focus myself on continuing to improve my game and maintaining the overall well-being that I have, mental, physical, emotional, so I would be able to compete at such a high level for the years to come and have a shot that eventually, getting closer to Roger's record.
Maybe the next day I'll think about it more, but for me, I don't know, like I still feel very shocked.
Naomi Osaka of Japan overcame Czech finalist Petra Kvitova 7-6, 5-7, 6-4 to claim the Australian Open women's title. At first, Osaka felt as if she had more to play.
I felt like the match wasn't completely done, but it was done, you know? And it's one of those moments where you're fighting so hard, and when it's finally over, you're still in this state of, like, competitiveness.
Kvitova felt she had her chances to win.
Yeah, it's painful, for sure. I don't know how long it will take me to get over it, but when I look back, I did have my chances in the first set when I had 40 love on her, so did have a few break points. I don't think I played something really badly, but I just think that I should maybe go a little bit more aggressive to the one or two rallies.
Osaka is now a two-time Grand Slam champion, as is Kvitova, twice a winner at Wimbledon. But she feels her comeback from a knife attack is her real triumph.
I think I already won 2 years ago, so for me it's amazing. I think I still don't really realize that I played the final. I mean, I've been through many, many things, not really great ones. As I said on the court, I didn't know if I'm going to hold the racket again. I'm holding it, so that's good. And a few things which I can improve, and we'll do it. So it's not the end, and I'll be back for sure.
The atmosphere was very different for Osaka compared to her U.S. Open win over Serena Williams.
In New York, most of the crowd was for Serena, and here it felt like they were just, like it was split a little bit. So honestly, when I was playing her and I heard that the crowd was like for both of us, I was very happy, but at the same time, I was just trying to focus on playing the match.
The second-ranked Kvitova thinks Osaka can maintain her new championship style.
Winning U.S. Open and Australian Open, it's an amazing achievement. So definitely she is a great one, and we'll see what the future will bring. But for sure she has probably everything to be there and play her best tennis.
Osaka is now the world's top-ranked women's tennis player.
Maybe in the next tournament I play, if I see the number one next to my name, I'll feel something. But for now, I'm more happy that I won this trophy.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for serving up that spicy Australian Open tennis package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America! I heard it was of America!
With about 18 months to the opening of the Tokyo Olympics in Japan, former Olympians in Nigeria want a synergy between the government and the private sector to start preparations for the Games. The former athletes are not happy with Nigeria's performance at the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Olumide Oyedeji is the president of the Nigerian Olympian Association. The 37-year-old Oyedeji played three seasons in the National Basketball Association, and he was the long-serving captain of Nigeria's national men's basketball team. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Olumide stressed cooperation between the government and private companies.
Probably, I think we're in a situation where we are right now. I kind of just believe the General Olympic Committee, they're doing their best to put things together and to make sure the athletes are prepared properly and make sure that we have a positive result in the 2020 Olympics. So the process might not be the way it's supposed to be, but I believe we still have about 18 months to get out there, so they're going to put things together. I believe NOC know what to do, and led by Abogun Mayor has been doing it for years, and knowing that to put things together should not be difficult for him. But there should be fun, there should be awareness, there should be creativity, something that we do.
Are you suggesting that there should be synergy between the NOC, the government, and the private sector to get the team prepared?
Definitely, no doubt. If you look at all other places all over the world, it's not all about government. It's about all the private companies putting things together, sponsoring, donating, and they can use this one to just start it, to just start preparation. But in Nigeria, we have to start waiting for government, which is a part of the world actually impacting the preparation for the Olympics.
Are you optimistic that Nigeria is going to do well in the next Olympic Games to be held in Tokyo, Japan?
I believe that with the right structure put in places, I believe we're going to do better than we did in 2016. We just have to put the right structure in places and have a better preparation and make sure we do the right thing.
That's Olumide Oyedeji, the president of the Nigerian Olympian Association. And Olumide spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. And here are a few fun facts about Olumide Oyedeji. As I mentioned, he's 37 years old. He's the only African player to ever feature in all the major basketball tournaments on the global stage, including the Olympic Games, the FIBA World Cup, the Commonwealth Games, the All-Africa Games, the NBA, EuroLeague, Asia Championships, and South American Basketball Leagues. Olumide, well-traveled. He's from Ibadan in Oyo State, Nigeria. And I want to give him a salute for his philanthropy. He's also planned and implemented numerous youth basketball camps helping troubled teenagers throughout the world, including the USA, Britain, Nigeria, Germany, China, South Korea, South Africa, Ghana, Benin, Togo, Olumide Oyedeji. And that wraps up the January 31st edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mr. Chang, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the West perpetually talks about its democratic values, self-determination, and freedoms. Can these concepts become realities in Africa? Discussing freedom of expression on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
This is Science in a Minute.
A group of scientists led by Johan Brox, an associate professor at the Australian National University, recently studied some fat molecules they had found on an ancient fossil. They say their studies provided evidence that allowed them to identify the fossil animal as a Dickinsonia and that it is the earliest known animal in the geological record. The scientists say the creature lived on Earth about 558 million years ago, which was about 20 million years before the so-called Cambrian explosion of modern animal life. Brox described this event as a time when complex animals and other life forms, like mollusks, worms, sponges, and arthropods, took over the fossil record. Brox and his colleagues described this primitive animal as being oval-shaped with rib-like structures along its body and measuring about 1.4 meters in length. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
On Press Conference USA, host Rebecca Ward and VOA's Philip Alexiou speak with William R. Kerr, a professor at Harvard University's School of Business, about the H-1B visa program. Professor Kerr is the author of a book on the subject. He believes the United States needs to attract skilled science and technology professionals to continue its leading role in high-tech industries. Listen Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.